Our lesson today is found in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke concerning the journey to Emmaus. And there were two men who were going towards Emmaus, which was 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. And as they walked together, they talked with each other of those things that had taken place back in the city of Jerusalem. Of these two men, we have the name of one of them, named Cleopas. According to the ancients, Cleopas was a brother to Joseph, who was the reputed father of Jesus Christ. He was married to a sister of Mary, the Blessed Virgin, and her name was Mary too. He had four sons, three of them were apostles. This man, Cleopas, is the one that holds most of the conversation with Christ in this chapter. This place, Emmaus, was 7 to 8 miles north of Jerusalem. Commonly speaking, if you can walk 4 miles an hour, you're walking pretty fast. So it was about a 2-hour walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But these men were walking and talking with each other of the things that had taken place. Who were they talking about? They were talking about their beloved Jesus. They were not apostles, these men. They were believers in Jesus Christ. And these men had probably seen him crucified. They had seen him buried. They had had all their hopes and all their expectations in Christ. They had hoped that he would become a king and that he would rule, and then they would be his servants. They had seen him do so many miracles and so many wonders. He had been such a wonderful man, and he had preached so faithfully and so honestly and so sincerely. And the word had been with power many times. They had enjoyed his ministry so. And now they had seen him crucified. They had seen him buried. He was dead. To their expectations, all what they thought about, all what they planned had come to naught. Everything had went into the grave with Christ. Their hopes were shattered. They talked with each other, no use us staying here in Jerusalem any longer, let's go back home. So they walked together on the way home. This is where they lived, in Emmaus. And as they were talking with each other about Christ and the things that he had done and the things that had come to pass, all the conversation concerning Jesus must have been savory. Remembering the things that they had experienced while he was alive. What a blessing, my hearers. Communications with each other, conversations about Jesus are rare things today, very rare. The Lord has given a promise that where two or three are met together in his name, there he will be in the midst of them. These two were speaking about him. These two men, they were in a sad condition. All their hopes and everything was gone. And they're walking with each other, going back this way. There may be some that are listening to me that are just like these two. You likewise have maybe not just 3 days ago as with these two men, but maybe years, months ago, you have experienced something in your heart by the Spirit of God, and you have been given to hear the way of salvation proclaimed to you in and through the gospel. You have been taught your sinnership, your need of a Savior, and you have been given to have your heart open for the truth, for the ministry of the word. And while this was going on, you received such a strong hope and such an expectation that you sure would be saved. You sure would be redeemed. How long ago this is, I do not know. But I do know from experience that these things seem to die away. And when they die away, then you don't even talk anymore about Jesus. You don't commune with anybody else about him. But if you do happen to meet someone, then you begin to speak about how it is with you at the present time, just like with these men. They were in a sad condition. You're in a sad condition. All you can tell is you're so dead, you're so carnal, you're so worldly, or you haven't got any expectation anymore of anything that you have experienced. Maybe the companion that you meet is the same way, begins to talk the same way with you, and you have communion with each other in your misery. And while you are talking with each other about these states that you're in, it pleases the Lord sometimes to make those things true. You know, so many times you say these things just with the head and with the mouth, and there's no concern in your soul about the communion and the fellowship that you have enjoyed. But when it becomes true and you become so sad and so miserable because you are that way, then you enjoy the fellowship of somebody else that is similar to you. And then it pleases the Lord sometimes while you're talking with each other to change the frame of soul that you are in. What a blessing it is to commune with each other and to speak with each other about the things of Jesus Christ, so that these disciples, that they experienced the fulfilling of this promise. For Christ, he came alongside of them while they were walking with each other. But their eyes were holden that they knew him not. By his divine power, he caused them that their eyes of understanding did not know him. They knew him before. They had seen him. They had been with him. They had heard his ministry. They had seen him crucified. They knew him. But now, the eyes of their understanding were held by Christ himself, by his divine power, and they knew him not. Oh, what a blessing when Jesus comes alongside of us while we are communing with each other and talking with each other. So it was with these two men. And now, this stranger to them began to speak unto them and said unto them, what are these communications that you are having with each other, and as you walk and are sad? Oh, my dear hearers, don't you think that Jesus knows when his dear children are in such a sad condition? He sure does. And he doesn't let them in that sad condition. Now, these men were in this condition too. They were in this sad, hopeless, lost, unexpecting condition of ever having what they had planned and heard and what they had been talking about to do. And now this person, this stranger, comes alongside of them, questions them. Why that they are talking with each other and they look so sad? Ah, my dear hearers, have you ever been in a sad condition? Have you ever been in a desperate condition? Have you ever talked to your soul like David did in Psalm 42? He spake unto his soul, why art thou cast down within me? Has your soul ever been cast down within you? The Lord Jesus Christ knows this. And maybe you were in such a state that you couldn't speak as David did. He said unto his soul, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. Maybe you didn't have any more hope. You couldn't say that with David. All you could say is that your soul was cast down within you. So these men were walking along the road in a cast down soul condition. And here Jesus comes along and speaks to them. And we find that immediately Cleopas, he begins to speak. And he says to him, he says, art thou a stranger? Hast thou not heard of the things that have taken place? in Jerusalem. Now this proves that what had taken place in Jerusalem was much talked about. Christ had been crucified. This wonderful person who had done so many wonders, so many miracles amongst the people, in whose ministry thousands and thousands of people had went to listen to, he had been taken by wicked hands and had been crucified. The chief priests and the elders of the people were the ones that had caused this to take place. They had condemned him. They had got him to be crucified. Oh, this surely must have been the talk of Jerusalem. And that this stranger who came alongside of them did not know anything about that. This was something that Cleopas couldn't understand. And when he said, "What things?" Then we find Cleopas speaking about his precious Jesus. Oh, then he began to say, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed before God and all the people, and who our chief priests have condemned and have crucified. What a testimony he gives of Jesus. He was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed, before all the people and before God. Oh, my dear Henry, he spoke so wonderfully of Jesus. This is what he was. He had been a prophet. He had expounded the truth unto the people. He had been a preacher amongst them. And not only was the word that he spake so powerful, as one said, never man spake like this man, he also accompanied his ministry with miracles, with wonders, curing those that were sick, healing those that were deaf and dumb, taking those that were blind and opening their eyes, and he even raised the dead up. What a wonderful man this was. This was this Jesus of Nazareth. This was the one that Cleopas was speaking to, and he knew it not. Here he was testifying of Jesus, and Jesus was listening to the testimony that Cleopas gave of himself. Oh, this man, Jesus Christ, he is still the same prophet, my dear hearers. Oh, he is a prophet indeed. Has he begun to teach you? Has he entered into your heart with his blessed spirit? Has he discovered unto you your lost, your ruined, your undone state and condition? Has he led you a little further? Has he led you into the gospel and given you to see that there is a way whereby you can be saved in and through himself? All this, I hope, may take place with every one of you in this life, for if it does not, woe be unto you when you have to meet him in that great day of judgment. You must be taught, you must be instructed by this prophet. And he teaches my hearers in a humbling way. He brings all that he is teaching down before him in their guilt and their sin. But he also raises up in their souls a hope which shall never, never be lost. It may sink, it may be far gone, but that hope they shall experience in the great day of days. This prophet, he was mighty in word. It's his word that he uses, the word that I'm speaking. But oh, when he accompanies the word, then the word has power. Then the word has an effect upon a person. So it was when he was on earth. So many thousands came to listen to him. If he was here on earth today, there probably would be millions that would go to listen to him. Oh, and when he spake, my hearers, he spake that it was just to the point. He spake that it just fitted. Any person that had a case to be met, that case he met with his ministry. How wonderful he was when he was here upon earth. These two men, they had heard him. They had listened to him. They had enjoyed him. They couldn't testify any other thing about him than that he was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed before God and all the people. And they expounded also to the stranger that the reason they were sad was because the priest had taken him and had condemned him to death and had crucified him. They as much as said, we had all our hopes in him. We expected him to be the one that would redeem Israel from the Roman yoke. And now, this was 3 days ago, he's dead, he's buried, but we heard something very astonishing this morning. There came some women that had been early to the grave, and they came to us and they said that they had been to the grave and they had seen a vision of angels which said to them that he was risen, that he was alive. And two of our number had went to the grave, Peter and John, both of them ran to the grave. And when they came to the grave, they found it just as the women had said, but him they saw not. But these two men, they didn't believe what these women had said. They seemed to be idle tales to them. They heard it, but it didn't have any effect upon them. Therefore, they left Jerusalem. Therefore, they were on their way back. Or had they had faith to receive what the woman had said, then they would have remained there in Jerusalem. But no, they didn't believe this. And now they said, him they saw not. This ended the conversation of Cleopas. Well, then Jesus took up the word, and he began to say unto them, O fool, and slow of heart to believe all what the prophets have written. Ought not Christ to have suffered and enter into his glory? He then began to speak, and he called them fools. Not as wicked fools, no. Fools, why? Because they had heard him himself say that he was to be crucified, to be murdered. They had heard him say that he would raise up the third day. They had been those that knew and heard it out of his own mouth. And they were now called fools, slow to believe and hard of heart. They couldn't believe what they had heard and what they had read even in the scriptures. For surely if they had read the prophetical book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, then they would have been entirely different if they had believed that. Oh, my dear hearers, we also, by nature, we also are so foolish, just like these disciples or these two believers in Christ. Oh, how much time do we spend reading the newspaper, reading magazines, reading literature that doesn't profit us any? Instead of taking the Bible and spending our time in reading the scriptures, which would be profitable unto our salvation, we are reading such stuff. We can tell what we read in the newspapers, but when it comes to the Bible, we don't retain anything. These here men, too, had they had a better scriptural knowledge, that morning they would have been waiting for Christ to come up out of the grave. Just as sure the sun went up, he would have come up. But they didn't have this. They were fools in this respect, and so are you and I. Or we would have, likewise, a better knowledge out of the scriptures. These men were reproved then by Christ because of their unbelief, because of their lack of knowledge out of the Bible. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? He had told them himself, it's written in the scriptures, and here they were. They were so confused, they were so mixed up. They had heard what the women had said, and they had seen what had taken place themselves, And here they were on their way back to their own home. And Jesus began to speak unto them, and he began to speak of himself. He begins with Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them all what was written about himself. Oh, what a wonderful sermon this must have been. Commentary says it's just too bad that we don't have this sermon. But this sermon was only just for these two men. They needed this sermon, my hearers. And now Christ expounded from the beginning of Scripture to the end of the Old Testament the things concerning himself. Oh, how wonderful this must have been to these two men. I'm sure if Christ expounds one text to you, you'll never forget it. Oh, and here he takes the Bible and begins with Moses and opens their understandings and opens their hearts at the same time. They had nothing anymore to say. They just listened. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been under the ministry of the Word? Has it ever come to you with power divine? Have you ever been given to listen? As if nobody else was listening to it, it was just for you. The sermon was just especially for you. It came into your very heart. You received it by faith. And believing what you heard, you had such communion, such union, such fellowship with him that spake through that word. Oh, what a sweet time this is when God gives you to hear the word in truth and in uprightness. It's sweeter than honey and than honeycomb. So it was to these men that were listening to the best expositor of the scriptures, Christ himself, manifested in the flesh. He was the preacher. He was explaining to them the scriptures. But that doesn't make, my dear hearers. He uses his servants for this work too. And many times they are as the voice of Christ to some of the souls that are to be instructed and to be fed. And if you may be one of those fortunate souls, and you are given an ear to hear and a heart to receive, oh, what a blessed time it is to be in the house of God. And the time passes so quick. This place where they were going was 8 miles north of Jerusalem, 2 hours' walk. When Christ met him, the scripture does not say, but possibly just as they had been coming out of Jerusalem. How long it took them to get to Emmaus, we don't know either. For surely they didn't walk too fast when they had this stranger as their companion and he began to expound to them the scriptures. Oh, they started to slow down, I think. It was so nice to be with this man. They didn't know who he was. They never had anybody explain the scriptures like he did. And all this companion, they had such an attachment to him. They loved him so from what he was speaking about Christ. Their hearts were burning within them when he was talking to them. You never had that, my hearers? Never had it under the ministry of the Word? How many years have you been coming under the Word of Truth? All your lifetime? And must you say you never had anything? Never had the ministry applied to your soul? Never enjoyed anything of the fellowship of him who speaks through the medium of this word? Oh, how sad is your state and condition. These men were in a sad and a sorry condition, but all this changed, you may be sure, when he began to speak to them and he began to unfold unto them himself out of the scriptures. Oh, what a change took place inside of their hearts. Oh, what a longing and a desire they had for this precious Jesus who was being exalted so by this stranger. Oh, my dear hearers, it got very close to the place where they were going to. They drew nigh unto the place where they were going to stay, Emmaus. And oh, I could understand these men. Oh, this stranger, he made as if he would go a little further. But oh, they didn't want him to go. They didn't want to miss his companionship. And they spake unto him and constrained him and said unto him, Abide with us, for the day is far spent and the evening draweth nigh. We read a sermon last Sunday night of this text if you were here. What a blessing to pray to Jesus, Abide with us. How necessary as a congregation that we look up unto him, that he will abide with us. He has so withdrawn himself from the ministry of his word, from the communications of his people, from being in the midst of us as a church. He is here, it's true. We cannot see him. His presence is always here. But all to have a feeling sense of his sensible presence, his nearness, his dearness, his sweetness, his love. Oh, I'd give everything I had, my hearers, to have something like this. How long ago has it been for some of you that you had something like this? You're not worried about it? You're not concerned about it? You don't want to have him? No desires for his presence, for his love? Oh, how sad it gets with some God's dear children. These men, they wanted this man to stay with them. And they prayed him, abide with us. Oh, they wanted him to come in with them. He made as if he wanted to go further, but no. He listened to their prayer, abide with us, for the day is far spent, and the evening draweth nigh. Oh, sure, it was going to get dark soon, and they didn't want him to go any further. Wouldn't he stay? Wouldn't he come in with them? Oh, my hearers, if you've ever had anything of Jesus' presence in your soul, then you would wish that nobody would interfere with it. These men didn't want to lose him. They didn't want to lose communion with him. And if you've been under the ministry of the Word, and the Word has been so sweet to you, you wish the church never would go out. Oh, when you're in prayer alone on your knees and you have access to God, he gives you liberty to pour out your soul unto him. Oh, you don't want to be disturbed. You don't need much to disturb you. But this is what these men found. Such an attachment to this man, this stranger, who they did not know. So it has been probably with some of you. You've experienced so many things in life, but him you saw not. Him you missed. Him to have the assurance that it's him that's doing this to you, that he is working in you. Oh, you'd give everything you had to know this, to be assured that it's Jesus. Oh, how he conceals himself. I think sometimes, in my own little thoughts, that the Lord withholds the eyes of the understandings of his people for many a year. He's held mine, I know that. I wouldn't want to say I never had anything from him, but all that I may say he's mine, I would love to be able to say that, but I don't dare. So it is with many of God's dear children. And so these men, they invited him into their house, and he went in, and he sat down with them. Oh, a precious guest, my hearer. I would say, if you're going to sit down to eat, never forget him. Acknowledge him for everything that you have, even providentially, your meals, the food that you have, the health that you enjoy, the children that you have. All remember is he in whom we live, move, and have our being. And he gives us an example here. He went in with them, and he sat down with them, and he began to bless the food. He offered up prayer. He offered up supplication. Do you do that before you eat and after you eat? Christ gives us an example, my hearers. And haven't you had sometimes such sweetness, such humbleness, such brokenness of heart? Oh, when you've seen such a table spread before you with everything that you like to eat, and you a sinful creature, you unworthy of these blessings, and the Lord has been so good to you that he's fed you, that he's given you all these things providentially. All the blessings of providence even are great, my dear hearers, considering we are so unworthy of a piece of bread or even of a drop of water. He feeds us all our life long. He's done that to you and me. Oh, do you acknowledge him? Forget him not, my dear Bible class. Acknowledge him when you sit down to eat your meals. It is he that's spreads the table before you. It's he that's given you what you have. He could take it away in a moment. It would be all gone, and that righteously and justly. He sat down with them, and he took the bread, and he broke it. And suddenly, as he was breaking the bread, he took the veil off their eyes. He took the covering off their eyes. And as he was breaking the bread, then they saw who it was. Then they knew him, it says the scripture. Oh, then it was their beloved Jesus. And just as soon as he had given them to see him, the scripture says, he vanished out of their sight. This is a mystery. This teaches us that Christ, he could make himself visible and he could make himself invisible. For immediately he vanished out of their sight. Me and you would say, well, how could he? He was a man just like you and I. How could he immediately get out of the vision of these men? This he did by his divine power. He immediately vanished out of their sight. And all we hear these two men speaking. Oh, did he not make our heart burn within us as he spake with us over the way? Has he ever done that to you? Has he ever given you any heart burning? Every heart longing, any desire after himself while you've been listening to the truth? Have you had any warmth come into your soul towards him? Such affections, such love, such faith, such hope in blessed exercise? Most of the time it's dormant. But at times it pleases him to arise over us. And then we have heart burning within. Oh, their hearts had burned while he had been speaking to them over the way. And now they had had a two-hour journey to get to Emmaus, and immediately they rose up and they returned back to Jerusalem. Oh, I think some of those that are listening to me, something like that happened to them. It didn't make where they were. They would like to fly to those that they knew and that knew about their condition, and they talked to them. Oh, this is what these men did. They immediately arose, and I think they ran all the way back. When they were walking, they took their time because they had a good companion talking to them. But now that he was gone and they had experienced something of his presence and they knew it was him, they flew. They flew back to Emmaus. They flew back to Jerusalem. And they came to where the 11 were gathered. They were met together, these 11 apostles. And they came in and they bust open the door and they said unto them, we have seen the Lord. He has made himself known unto us. And then they got a response. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed and was seen of Simon. Peter, in other words. Now, who this other person was? The one man was Cleopas. The other one, scripture doesn't say. Some have thoughts that it was Peter himself. Couldn't have been. I think Peter would have had the word. It wouldn't have been Cleopas. Others think it was Luke, the man that wrote this gospel. But when you read the beginning of this, before he enters into the explanation of what he was going to write about, then you are assured that it wasn't him either. Scripture is silent who the other person was, and maybe for good reason. The Lord does withhold many things in his word, and many we do not understand things that are written in scriptures. But they went back to Jerusalem. They met the 11, and what a meeting this must have been. Oh, how they must have been talking with each other. Oh, Jesus was alive. They had thought he was dead, that he was buried. They had given up all hope and expectation. You ever been there? Has he ever given you a word to believe that it's still alive within you? That he loves you, that you are one of his children? Then you know something of the joy that these disciples had when they ran back to Jerusalem. Oh, they wanted to get amongst the other disciples and tell them all about it. And here they are, all talking about it. Suddenly, who comes in the midst? Jesus himself. Oh, see my heavens, how wonderful Jesus is. He meets his people. He communes with them. And here he comes in the midst of them. And he speaks unto them, peace be unto you. And they were frightened. They thought they saw a ghost, a spirit. They couldn't believe that it was him. Probably even the two apostles or the two disciples that had been with him and had seen him. But there he was. He spake to them wonderful words, peace be unto you. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy speak these words to your soul and to my soul, that we may have peace with this great God through this blessed peacemaker, Jesus Christ. The Lord bless our feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal soul. For his name's sake, that's all for now.